Blog Talk Radio.
Darling, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Do you hear me?
I hear you, yeah. You sound a little low, or is that just my volume? Hang on.
It is amazing. We are remote right now because of internet, whatever it is that provides the internet to our studio has an issue, and the internet is down, so we're remote right now. And
wow.
This would work, but it seems to be working.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Right now. I'm driving around in my Tesla.
No.
Right, yeah, I am.
No. That is so freaking cool.
I had to pull over to connect to the show here remotely, so now I'll just be on my way again. So anyway, this is pretty cool.
I am absolutely stunned, Andy. That's just incredible.
Last couple of shows have been unreal, eh?
Yeah, I'm absolutely blown away. Seriously, how's my volume level on the mic?
It sounds great.
Yeah, great. No distortion.
I'll stop for a cup. Yes, you sound fine. You sound real
okay.
Good. I think I'll stop for a cup of coffee. We can interview like a takeout girl or something like that. We'll put her on the show. I say, hey.
Oh, that sounds good. So you've had a crazy week, huh? And a fun one.
Oh my
one.
Gosh, yeah. And a couple crazy weeks coming up, too. It's been unreal. Absolutely unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah, we're doing these remote trips and doing some traveling and getting some music done again and out playing and recording and, and collecting more news and interviewing more people and getting more input for our show, which has always been fascinating, and figuring out why people aren't getting vaccinated and watching this Delta.
Yeah.
A variant take a toll and put this whole crisis that we've all been suffering through for the past year and a half in the wrong trajectory. And,
yeah.
It's just unbelievable. I can't, we've talked about it so much and so often, but we keep asking the same question, you got to take politics out of this and start looking at, people get the tetanus shot or they have to travel if you want to go to Cambodia or Vietnam, you should get. Mm. If you want to go to Ethiopia, you should get the malaria shot. You want to get this shot.
Yeah.
People say, okay, all right, doc, what do I need to travel here? The doc says, well, you should get this, and this. And you say, okay, and you get those shots. You question it? No, you get them. But oh boy, this is my right. This is a government hoax. Oh boy, I got a right not to do this. I don't know. It's just unbelievable. Meantime, thousands and thousands of people are going to the hospital, getting sick and dying, and it's needless. It's at this point, it's very needless. I thought we've all had the education to put all this aside, realize it's not political, and do what we need to do for our species. Literally, it's just unbelievable.
It's just crazy, isn't it? I mean, at the moment with the COVID situation here, the way it is, and the cases are still dropping, sweetheart, but they're still saying in the news that we still haven't got accurate data yet as to how that's dropping and if that's still a safe thing to go on, because they're still waiting for the correct data to come out about that, which is a little crazy. But they're pleading with pregnant women to get vaccinated because apparently so many of them haven't. had the vaccination, like, I guess because they're scared that something's going to happen to their baby, that the baby could have a reaction from the vaccine, because, of course, you know, there's been all sorts of horror stories about how the vaccine has affected many people. You know, I've heard some things. I know somebody who's experienced a terrible reaction from the vaccine, but this is going to happen no matter what you have, any type of medication, any type of vaccine, you know, for any kind of shot. So it's not just dependent on the COVID shot that's causing all these issues. It's for everything. So you're always going to get one in so many people have reactions or bad reactions to something. So this is something that people need to take into consideration and not feed that fear so much, you know, try to find the level ground with this and understand how important it is to be protected. I did share, I can't remember if it was the previous show, Sweetheart, or the show before, where they mentioned that in the UK, it's just over 90% of people have the COVID antibodies now, which is great, either from having COVID itself or the vaccination. So we've still got that percentage of people that haven't. And I'm assuming that's the ones who, you know, haven't been vaccinated and haven't caught COVID, obviously. So, yeah, I think it's such an important thing now to jump on board with this. Like, because other countries now are going through the roof with this. You know, the Olympics in Japan, since they've had the Olympics, the COVID cases have been going crazy there now, and they're really, really concerned. So, you know, this is a huge reflection for everybody that this Delta variant is causing so much trouble. It's still taking lives, it's still affecting us, and it's spreading quicker than any other variant. So this is something to be very aware of. And
I've heard about that, some Olympic athletes having to be drop out because of their COVID diagnosis. You know what? Speaking of Olympics real quick, you know, I've just been catching some of it late night usually, but I've noticed that street skateboarding is now an Olympic event, street skateboarding. I found that, wow. So what I figured we would do from the Andy DeMandrea show is we're going to lobby, we're going to petition the Olympic Committee to make beer pong a Olympic event. I figured that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my goodness. That would be so much fun, you know?
I think that's what we should do, you know? Heck yeah. But I'm sorry. But the Olympics have been kind of cool to watch, you know? It hasn't grabbed my attention like it has in previous previous years. I don't know why.
Yeah.
That's my lack of interest, the focus on other things that are so important to us right now, the lack of attention in general that it's getting really. I mean, you know, people follow it, see the replays, whatever. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's the same here, to be fair. You know, I've not, because usually the, I nearly said something else then, the Olympics, I've always found them fascinating in certain events anyway, not all of them. I find some of it a bit, you know, tedious. But, in previous years, I find it interesting. And I just, you know, haven't really bothered this year to even check it out. It was the same with Wimbledon, you know, and with the tennis.
Yeah.
Usually I'm like, oh, yeah, that's on. Let me check it out. Yeah, let me see who's playing and blah, blah, blah. And then, no, this year I was just, I don't know. Maybe it's just so much distraction from everything that's been going on.
I'm like,
I get so bored I could scream.
Yes, I have those days too.
I know. Hey, we have a couple of real, the last couple to talk about and catch up on, but we have some real exciting guests coming on the show today in this Friday weekend edition of the, what's our show called again?
Let me think about this. Hang on.
What's your name again?
Oh, it's Andy. Oh, no, wait, that's you.
That's me. Yeah,
Amanda. My name's Amanda. Yeah.
Let me look and make sure. No, I'm not Amanda. All right. I can tell. Yeah, you know, anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can't follow the logic on that at all.
Well, you should be able to. It's not difficult to figure out. Anyway, so we're going to push a button here and see if we can make this connection.
Yes.
Hello? Hello? Is
Hello?
That you, Anthony? Hello, hey.
Yes, it is.
Welcome aboard.
Hey.
How are you?
Hey, Anthony.
Hey, guys.
I literally just got I got your message, sweetheart. I was about to say to Andy, and Andy was like, I'm going to push a button. I was like, yes, there he is.
I'm here.
Oh, bless you. I'm good, sweetheart. How about you?
Good. I was just listening to you guys' conversation, and I think you guys are on to something. I think it's really interesting stuff that's going on right now.
Oh, well, yeah, with the COVID situation, it's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Really crazy. I mean, we try and cover it as much as we can on each show, and because there's always something going on in our countries, right? So we always try to reflect what's happening here in the UK, as well as Andy's reflecting back to me what's happening there. And, we end up sometimes in some real deep conversation about it all, but we find it important to share, don't we, Andy? You know, trying to get everybody safe and, you know, to do the right thing and all that kind of thing. But that's enough of me waffling on.
We are executing on our plan.
Yes.
I'm taking a little break just so I can jump on this call with you guys. So any questions you may have.
I appreciate that, my darling. Andy, did you want to start us off, or shall I go ahead?
Yes. So tell us about what you're doing. You're an agent in film or music or both.
Correct. So I'm a commercial agent for ATB Talent Agency, located here in Los Angeles, California, and we are bi-coastal. So I also run the market in New York City as well, and run the social media departments here. In LA and New York for ATB as well.
Wow.
So I have a lot going on.
Yeah.
I bet. You represent talent then, correct? Or do you?
I do, yes. A lot of actors, about 250 actors right now.
Woo!
Wow.
Yeah. So things are exciting. And then for the social media department, we've got a handful of influencers that we work with. Here in LA and New York, which is a lot of fun. It's a different world than commercial work, but still a lot of fun. I love my job, and I'm very passionate about it. And thankfully, I've been very successful in a lot of ways, and try to offer as much value in return to people, because I've been through a lot of experiences that I know can help others succeed in this industry.
That's incredible. What drove you to do that, sweetheart? What made you decide, okay, this is the direction I want to take. This is the area of the entertainment business I want to tackle and become successful in. What drove you?
The entertainment industry was always fascinating with me, And since I was a child, I knew I wanted to be in the entertainment industry. I didn't know what aspect or what job.
Yeah.
But I figured it out after the military. I went into the military, 4 years in the Marine Corps, got out, and then started going to school, learning what I did want to do and what I didn't want to do. Worked in the nightlife scene for a few years out there in Las Vegas, my home, which is where I'm from.
Woo! Fantastic.
Yeah, so I worked in the nightlife, hospitality industry. I worked for many big companies like Tao Group, Hakkasan Group, Light Group, all the different venues you could think of, you know, the restaurants, the pools, the bars, the lounges, nightclubs, all that fun stuff.
Wow.
But
that must have been an eye-opener.
yeah. And I had friends that worked in entertainment out there that worked for many of the shows that were on the Strip. And I was talking to a few of them, asking how I could get involved, kind of, you know, learn the ropes. And I eventually started working for a few big companies, interning, had a couple as well. And I knew that this was for me. Felt like I was kind of limited on growth in Vegas at the time.
Yeah.
So I moved out here to Los Angeles about 7 years ago to pursue my career as an agent. Where I eventually got my bachelor degree in entertainment business, and then I got my master's degree in film production. And then I also, you know, had multiple internships with a few production companies and talent agencies, worked for a few companies as well. And then here I am today.
Wow, that's so impressive. That's so impressive. I love it.
So,
that's great.
Thank
that's
you.
So great.
You we have listeners in 22 countries. Wow. Dominant in, you know, most are in the United States and North America, and UK would be second, Germany. I mean, we're all over the map, really, you know, all over the globe, really.
That's amazing.
Eddie,
hey, guys.
Pretty cool. We started this a year and a half ago. Yeah, really, say hi.
Yes,
I mean, everywhere,
yeah, absolutely.
South Africa, in India, China, Russia, you name it, we're there.
Very cool.
And it's great. It's great. It is. It really is. For the benefit of our listeners, and you being an agent, are there any experiences or any people that you know, the average listener, the average person on the street might know of, the names that you might work with on a time-to-time basis?
Probably not. I do a lot of commercial work, and so these actors are booking, you know, anything from like Nike commercials and Starbucks and a lot of big name brands, but not exactly big actors as of, you know, right now.
I never hear a friend of mine, actually he's getting up there in age now, he's a friend from way back, yeah, in management company on the East Coast. His wife actually is Edie Robb from, I don't know if you know, Station 3, but he was with he did a lot of commercials in his 80s for a company called Coast to Coast, I think it's called, in LA.
Does that
ring a bell? Yeah, Coast. They did commercials. And I've had. I'm not an actor by profession and never thought, but I got recruited and ended up doing some commercials and some films and indie things. And I just did a commercial for Amazon, the first commercial I ever did, out in Ventura Farms or something like that outside of LA. But
yeah,
I've never done a commercial. It's kind
of and you know, although the actors that I do work with, a lot of them are on Netflix shows. They are on HBO shows. They do a lot of TV shows and movies as well. So which is very exciting. You know, these guys are doing a lot of work on television. They're doing commercial work. A lot of them are influencers. So I work with them in, you know, the social media.
Yeah.
Field
wow.
as well.
That's incredible.
You know, for all the brand endorsements and stuff like that. But
so what is,
so really,
what is it?
Really
you actually. Sorry, sweetheart. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you there. What is it your job role involves? What is the process of your day-to-day work?
So my job is to find the best talents around here in LA or, you know, anywhere in the surrounding areas.
Yeah.
Same with New York. And, you know, I've got to find people that are talented and have experience. That way we can get them booking, you know, jobs, and then we make a commission or a percentage off of whatever is booked.
Wow, okay. Because I've always found that process fascinating. You know, there's a lot of people out there trying to get recognized and noticed in so many areas of the entertainment industry. And, you know, I guess for the average listener and all our listeners listening to the show today, they may have the interest to get into the entertainment business. Is there any advice that you could offer to them to try and get themselves seen or noticed in any way?
You know, it's not an easy industry. It is a hustle. Yeah. It is a grind all the way to the top. Even if you're at the top, it's always a grind, you know. So expect to work hard and work consistently. Don't stop. Don't quit. And make sure you're, you know, networking, because in this industry, it's all a lot about who you know. And make sure you're doing the right things. You know, take classes if you need to take classes. Have your reels together. Make sure you've got amazing headshots and whatever else that makes you look good. Shake hands with the right people. Hang out with the right people that are going to push you and motivate you. And stay focused. You know, stay in your lane. Don't get too distracted, because it's easy to do in this industry, the city. And
that is the process work. Let's say I've got a new Jell-O. I've got a new Jell-O here, and I want to do a TV commercial.
A new what?
A pillow. A new pillow. Sure.
I gotta tell you about the Jell-O. You know what I'm saying? This is like
if you want some good actors or influencers to be the face of that brand. Then we would negotiate. That's where we step in and negotiate the deals, the offers, to make sure everyone gets what they want. You know, you get what you're looking for, actors get what they need, and us as well.
That's incredible.
So basically, so an actor would knock on your door, and then they would hear.
I have been expecting you.
Yeah. And then, does somebody? How does it work?
That's pretty much it. I mean, we're meeting actors all day, every day, getting emails and phone calls all day, every day. And you really need to have a good eye for talent and know and have some common sense and know who is actually putting in the work and not just all talk. You know, you want to be there for people that are passionate about what they do and not just treat it like a hobby. People
of course.
That are actually focused. And you need to weed out the week, you know.
And I guess that over time you kind of – it's easy to spot those types of people who's, you know, trying to be there and do something, but underneath is not 100% committed to it. And you can really see the drive in some people, can't you? You know, they don't give up. They put in 110%. And then you've got the more of the dreamers, like, I want to do this, but, you know, I don't really have the confidence to see it through. I don't think I can keep up with this. Yeah, yeah.
Yep, I actually just made a video about that recently for social media. I'd like to make videos and that I put out on Instagram and Facebook and stuff that offer value, offer information, and anything that's useful and helpful to those people that want to get into this industry.
Mm. Oh, wow,
well,
that's
funny.
Fantastic.
I've always asked, you know, the actors, because especially here in L.A., you know, and I, you know, formerly from the East Coast in New York and Boston and Philly, and, you know, I've always wondered because you know, such a small percentage of the Actors Union of SAG actually make a full-time living doing just that. And I've always asked the question, how do they get along when they're not working and have gotten crazy?
You got to pick a fight or two.
Yeah. And,
oh, the jokes we have on this show.
I love it.
Oh, good. I'm glad. You're not running for the hills yet, my darling.
No,
sorry,
great.
Andy. What was you saying?
I forget. What was I saying? You remember?
No. You know I'm not very good at reading your mind. I try.
Yeah, but anyway, so basically, a talent. Let's say talent you already have on your roster or new talent. And
yeah.
I guess also when I remember talk, we've had quite a few folks, producers and actors and directors on the show in previous episodes throughout the past year and a half. And one thing that has come up from here and there is usually when you do a television episode, you get a core cast and there's some supporting cast members that come and go. Pertaining to the storyline of that particular episode, but the core cast pretty much is there. They have 13 weeks to develop their characters. In a movie, you have the starring actors that are pretty much throughout the film. In a commercial, in terms of acting, it's interesting because in an episodic, you've got 13 episodes to develop the credibility and the who your character is and develop that character, make that character, you know, somebody. In a TV commercial or a radio commercial, for that matter, medium a week or so, you figure this as an actor. A, you've got to start right away and show somebody that you're credible and you should listen or watch. B, you've got to they've got to identify with a problem. Which they might have, they might not have. If they have it, you got to convince them they have it. C, you got to convince them that you have the remedy for that product problem to the extent that by the 30 seconds that you just spent with them, they're going to take out the wallet and buy it. And if that ain't acting, I don't know what is. I mean, whoa. You know, these actors that do commercials. And the other thing is you don't see the same actor doing every product, you know, so they're always looking for new faces and new voices and new looks and new feels because
that's
you can't
true.
Have the same actor. So you have this, you know, you as an agency can't send the same ad clients and have them do commercials for every client because you need fresh face.
I mean,
so
yep, exactly.
People
are always looking for the hottest new face.
Yeah.
You guys must be on the prowl. Constantly. How about for kids? Let's talk about that for a minute. Babies, infants, kids. I heard that was a great field that babies don't stay babies.
Sure. I mean, I personally don't work with children, anyone under 18.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a huge market as well.
Wow.
I mean, I couldn't tell you too much about that. I mean, I could, but that's not my, that's not my world.
Absolutely, yeah. Apologies, clearing my throat there. Well, that's fantastic, though. I mean, learning all about this industry, because like I said, you know, it's one of those areas that we've not touched upon before on this show. So today's kind of like a very special day in that sense that you're gracing us with your area of expertise and your experience in your life. And it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm here, you know, to offer as much knowledge as possible. I'm very grateful for this opportunity to be talking with you guys. And
we appreciate you, my darling. We appreciate
great
you.
Great having you. And we know, you know, some of the questions, you know, that, that an actor might have, you know, that might be asked when they meet with an agent, such as...
Do you believe in ghosts?
Well, actually, I do.
can I set that up on my phone? Is that possible? Is that possible? Those are funny.
Sure, go for it.
Yes.
And we were actually joking about that, actually, the sign clips. We were saying, going back a little while ago, wouldn't it be funny if we could walk around in life and in certain situations just play a sign clip instead of speaking, you know? It'd just be so funny.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be great. You know, I'm on phone with an actor, and out of nowhere, you have this deep, monstrous voice.
And there's so many... I can't tell you how often I'll go around and just, you know, wish that I could say something, you know, in a conversation with somebody or interviewing somebody, and I might think that...
the human element has been removed.
You know?
and, you know, me being a commercial agent, it's more like I love what I do, and for those people that are trying to break into the industry, you know, have your photos, have your headshots, have your reels put together, and make sure you have a team. A team is always very important. You know, you want to have your commercial agents. You want to have your theatrical agents. If you do a lot of modeling, you want, that would be considered print. So you want to have a print agent, maybe some voiceover, and have people working with you in different markets, you know, not just L.A., not just New York, but other big cities as well where the industry is booming.
Right, okay.
And then eventually, you know, we get to a point where you're going to need a manager and then a publicist, you know, down the road.
Yeah.
And there's really.
Wow.
What is the first step? Somebody is an actor. They've done some work. They, you know, got some supporting minor roles or whatever, and they want to do some commercials. And, okay, how do I do this? Do they call you cold to say, hey?
Yeah.
I've done three TV shows, and I've been an extra, and I've done, you know, a movie with such and such star. I'd love to break into commercials.
Yeah.
How's
it
work?
Not a phone call. I prefer emails because we don't have time to talk to everybody who wants to be an actor.
Right.
And then if you're emailing people, of course, have everything that we are looking for, that, you know, all the pertinent information. And then we just have to kind of weed through them. You know, we get so many emails every single day, people wanting to do things, but you have to know who's professional and who's not.
Yeah.
So,
That's pretty
and
true.
And then, and if you don't have experience, get you know, find us some experience. You know, some people say, how do I get jobs if I don't have an agent, but I can't get an agent because I don't have any jobs. You know, there's a lot of ways to get work. That's not true. There, you know, on your own, independently, you should be hustling and get yourself into some projects, you know, as some short films, student films, whatever it is that you need to do to get that experience underneath your belt.
That's a good point. Because I think a lot of people, they only see the obstacles and they think, how do I jump from this point, from point A, all the way to point D without taking the steps in between, because they don't know how to take those steps in between to get to point D. And like you said, it's, you know, even doing student films and things like that, it's for some people, it goes over their head as to, well, I can only see A and D. I can't see the points in between. So that's really good advice to just find anything within that area to try.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just make sure that the stuff that you do put out is good quality. Quality is very important.
Yeah. And
you know,
also there's a passion that goes along with a sincere passion and commitment that is coupled with one's ability to convey a message, I think. And almost, it's almost like in a music recording studio where sometimes a musician or singer-songwriter or band, as the case may be, records a tune and there's a little error in there somewhere. Something wasn't the way it was supposed to be, but the performance of the tune, the performance was you can't duplicate that. That's got to come from within. And sometimes they say, you know what, we got the performance. The heck with the mistake. Nobody's gonna know the difference. We got it. That we nailed it, man. You did it. And it reminds me. One of my careers, looking back. I had an advertising agency with a partner for 9 years, and we did many TV commercials, radio commercials. We were mostly print ads, but we did commercials. And it's interesting because we used to get calls from emerging actors and some established actors and voice talent that would say, hey, they go into the ad agency and say, look, I don't know if you have any clients, if you guys are doing any TV commercials, I'd like to talk, you know, and you, or sometimes a client will say, hey, you know, we have a customer or somebody, we met somebody who just, they just are so sincere about their appreciation and enjoyment about our product or service that we think they'd be a great spokesperson or do a great commercial for us because they just jump off the screen with how great we are. And you can't hire that. You can't hire that.
Right.
You know, so, because enthusiasm and commitment and passion, that says a million words. So just not that I know. I don't, but so you're the professional. I am not, but it just seems to me, it seems to me that, you know, hello, Bill, you know, I can do that. And that's just, you know, you got to generate that, you know, when you go audition or when you talk to an agent about wanting to do a commercial, are you really sincere about that? Are you committed? Do you have that passion? Does that come through?
Right.
Can you do that? You know? And
exactly.
Because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but you said we got to weed through, you know, we got to read through all these emails to see who can really generate that. Who can we send to a client and be proud of? Am I right?
Yeah. You're right on it. You're right on it. Yep. That's exactly the type of stuff we're looking for.
But it's fascinating. Okay. It also, commercial actors, actresses, actors, whatever, you can make some very good money doing that, right? I mean, they pay pretty well, right?
You can, especially when you book those nationals.
Yeah.
And every time these commercials air, everyone gets paid. So, it's
wow. Fantastic. That's incredible. I love learning about all this stuff. It's so fascinating to me.
Isn't it? It's a different world. You know, we spent so much of our time talking about Donald Trump and COVID and politics and the insurrection and the environment. And Joe Biden, and you know, we touch. You know, if it's in the news, we talk about it. We provide you know, commentary and insight and look behind the scenes a lot and have some fun. You know, have a fun time doing it. But it's so great to get some folks on, especially like somebody like yourself, who is versed, you know, expertly versed within a particular industry, especially one, you know, entertainment, film, TV, commercials. It's wow, how do I do that? And that's so cool. And how does one
get
into that? It's fascinating to get to have you on our show. To be able to shed some light about how it all works.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes. I love this industry. I am passionate about it, and I've really worked my way from the up from the bottom.
You certainly have. I'll give you credit for that. You certainly have. You know,
yeah,
I was reading about you, and I was just so impressed.
which article? You've read an article?
I was actually brought up on IMDb, section on you. Yeah, I was reading through that. I was like, wow, that's so impressive. You know, how you started off, and obviously you've expanded on more of that because IMDb only gives you so much, unfortunately. But you know, it's absolutely fantastic. It's so inspiring, and I think people like yourself inspire others to do the same. Because I love that. I love inspiring people myself. So you know, to meet wonderful souls like you, it's such a pleasure to, you know, see the drive and the passion and the enthusiasm, and it helps other people. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and I love to help people just as much as I can. And, you know, I've worked my way up from the bottom, like I was saying, you know, being an intern working for free and then being an assistant. And then going from an assistant to a junior agent to now a talent agent, And it's only, you know, I feel like I'm only halfway up the chain right now. So we have a lot more growing to do.
Wow.
To come. Yeah. Yeah. What is the top?
It's always an interesting question, isn't it? Like in any area or career, what is the top for you? What is your ultimate goal to reach?
I mean, I don't really have a top. I'm never going to stop. And I just want to be successful. I want to be happy. I want to have the things that I want to have.
Of course, yeah.
In life, and that's pretty much it. I just keep going until I can't go anymore.
I love that. I love that. Oh, what a beautiful crowd. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
It's great. And then I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, sorry. We were just talking about you reaching the top.
Where do you go from here?
I feel like I'm only halfway through, like up the chain. You know, I want to become one of the best agents, like, you know, in Hollywood. And make a name for myself. I believe in myself because I've really accomplished everything I've always set my heart and mind to.
That's incredible. And that's what I love to hear.
Yeah. And I know that I've got an exciting future ahead of me. And really want to work with the people that are on the same page and have the same mindsets. And it's, you know, I moved out here for a reason. I didn't move out here to be average.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel that same, you know, I feel like everyone should be thinking that same way, you know. If they move to L.A., it's not an easy city to be living in. Like, if you're going to move here, prepare to work. I mean, if you're not going to put in the work, then go back home, you know, have an average job, live an average life.
Yeah.
And if that's what you're happy doing. But this is a city for those that are ready to hustle.
Yes, I've heard that so many times. I mean, being here in the UK, London can be similar, but not to the extent of Los Angeles, you know, not to the same extent. So
it seems to me, having been born and raised on the East Coast and spending a lot of my time in New York, both professionally and socially, I found, and now living here for about 6 years, I guess it's been here out in L.A., I found the East Coast environment, the New York Philly environment, to be more community oriented than LA. LA is just so spread out, and it just you got to kind of make your own way here, and it can take a while to do it. And everybody is trying to, well, not everybody, but many people are trying to do the same thing you are. And as a result of that, you know, I've always heard people come back from L.A. when I was living on the East Coast and say, oh, it's a lot of fake people out there. They're really fake. And I never knew what that – what do you mean? I've heard of fake news. What's a fake person?
I've
heard fake news. I've only heard fake news recently. But anyway, I've heard, you know, what – and I understand that. I couldn't put my finger on what that is, but
– the image that people put out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, is that really who they are? Is that, you know,
It does bring up a lot of questions.
Everyone's trying to make it to the top. Everyone wants to be the best. So a lot of times you're going to meet people who aren't themselves, who, you know, are fake, you can say. They, I don't know, they feel it's necessary to get to that next level. And in a lot of ways, I mean, Like the saying goes, you know, fake it till you make it, you know.
That's true.
In a lot of ways, that can be true.
Yeah, and dress for the job you want is the other one that I hear. So I guess, again, that takes on the same kind of identity, doesn't it? You take on the identity of the thing you're driving yourself for, and you kind of lose yourself and forget who you are along the way, and you become that product that you're selling yourself at the end of the day.
Yeah, but you don't want to be too fake because a lot of people don't like that. They don't vibe with that. You want to be humble. You want to be real. But at the same time, put off that perception that you're serious and good.
I adore hearing that because there's a whole big perception regarding Hollywood and the entertainment world where you have to be this fake character. And I think it gets portrayed a lot in movies and it gets portrayed a lot amongst society trying to make it.
And I think hearing that is very wise words for anyone who's listening. You know, it is important to be yourself as well as strive for success. You don't have to be fake. You just have to be dedicated. That's amazing. I'm glad you said that, Anthony. I'm really pleased you said that.
thank you.
I've also found that here,
where's that applause? Where's that applause when I need it?
I know, yeah, right? Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you.
But anyway, okay, thank you. Yes.
Are we clear?
Yes, very. Thank you.
I think so.
I was also talking about that for a minute because you know, again, we've had several guests and we have an audience that responds very favorably to the entertainment business. We have folks in your field on our show, and I think it's important too. If you find yourself having to do something, we talked about this also when we talked about life experiences, relationships, and motivational coaching, this kind of thing, which we've spent some time on their show. But if you find yourself having to do something, think twice about that, as opposed to something that you do as a result of being who you are. The conversation is in being as opposed to doing is you are who you are. You're committed to what you're committed to. Make that commitment and go for it, and don't be disappointed or be rejected because you're stuck. Doesn't go your way. You're stuck because of an opportunity that you're going to get. You didn't get because here's the thing. You establish a commitment,
acknowledge the problem, but find a solution.
Yes, exactly. I love that.
And if you have to adjust the pathway to that objective, to what that commitment is, then you can adjust the pathway to get there. But don't distract from the commitment. Keep it alive. You know what else do we have? You know, what else do we have? So, and also what I think is if somebody says, here's who I am, and I'm going to be me, I'm going to walk through this opportunity, I'm going to walk through life, I'm going to be who I am, and I know what I can do, then you tend to put blinders on as opposed to, well, I can't do this because nobody makes it. Oh, it's so tough. Oh, it's so impossible. Oh, they didn't get this. I thought they were great. How come they didn't get it? This is crazy. I'm out of here. Don't worry about – the only thing that matters is you, the relationship that you have with your life and your future. There is no more relationship with your past because it already happened. The only thing there is the moment and what you have to look forward to in life. And just be that. Go for it. And if you start paying too much attention to how difficult it is, oh, it's so competitive. Oh, there's a billion people doing this. Nobody is you. You're the only person that's you. So how is it possibly there is no competition. There is no competition because there's only one you.
Blind, absolutely.
Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Don't worry about what people say about how tough it is. And I don't care if you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, a musician, a dentist, a hairstylist, whatever you want to be. You can do it, and you can excel. You can go to the top. Be committed. Be true to yourself. Don't worry about what people say. Don't worry about what other people do. You just do it. And I think when you look at that, people have become most successful in whatever field, as an author or whatever they do.
I agree.
That's when
you become the most focused.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, everyone falls into that. Even myself, once in a while, you know, I compare myself to others, which is the worst thing you could be doing, because you know I want what other people have, but instead
of thinking of
them as like competition. Just kind of think of them as like an inspiration or idol and kind of admire or, you know, see what they do and then imitate it, you know. If you want to achieve what the other people are achieving, learn from what their actions are and do the same thing. And don't compare yourself because other people come from different backgrounds, you know, and everyone's on a different path. So
wise words. Yeah.
Stay focused, and you'll eventually get where you want to be.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in that position myself, you know, comparing myself to others. I think it's a natural insecurity we have when we're trying to find our place in this world, trying to find
the very thing we're passionate about, what we want. We see those around us and we look up to them and we admire them, and we see how people are more successful, or sorry, appear more successful than ourselves, because I don't necessarily believe it's always they are more successful than ourselves, because appearances can be very deceiving. And they could be successful in one area of their life, but not in many others, which you are. So, you know, I think there's, when it comes to a healthy mindset with selling yourself as a product within an industry, it's important to find that balance within you. And like you said, you know, don't compare yourself to others. Find who you are and be you, like Andy said, right to the core, and believe in yourself enough to just to drive yourself forwards, because each one of us is special in our own right. And I think within certain industries, well, let's face it, society in general can really knock us down a peg or two and make us feel less confident about ourselves if we're rejected from any kind of job, social situation, you know, anything that makes us feel like we are less than what we deserve. And it's all challenging and there to motivate us and shape us and strive for what we truly want in life, to make us ultimately better people. We're going to go that deep, you know, and preach it a little.
And don't get down upon things.
Yeah.
When looking at others that are more successful, use that as motivation.
Yes. Yes.
You know, tell yourself that you want to achieve those things and you know, create your goals, set deadlines, write it down if you have to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stay focused.
Stay away from Go ahead.
Oh, no, and for actors, you know, that are breaking into this industry,
you are
a business. You're not just acting. You are a business, and so you need to treat yourself as such.
Right. Okay. That's great advice also. And what would you say is the best way to do that? I mean, forgive me if you've already touched on that, but the way you expressed that, you know, as a business as opposed to a product, which is quite it gets thrown around as well, that term, selling yourself as a product. Is there much difference in what you just said, or
I mean, there's a lot, so much that I could say on that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I just wanted to.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But you are a business. And take it very serious.
Wait, I'm a business.
Andy, you are.
Yeah, you. And you know, create an LLC for your name. Start there.
Yeah.
And for tax purposes and everything else.
Right. Okay. Well, that's fantastic advice, and I'm sure many of our listeners, bless you, my lovely people, will be enjoying this conversation, and hopefully it's piqued their interest and their drive. I mean, who knows how many out there are thinking, I so want to do this. I so want to go for it. And even strive to be in your position doing what you do, Anthony. So, you know, that's incredible. And it must be quite exciting for you to find that talent, recognize that talent and think, oh my goodness, yeah, you've got something. Does it give you that thrill? I mean, for me, like, I'm into music and do music production. So does Andy. Obviously, he's a musician and singer-songwriter. Yeah. So when I'm like, if I'm on YouTube and I'm like hearing songs and stuff and I see people trying to make it on YouTube, believe it or not, that thrills me, seeing such talent. I'm like, oh my goodness, they're so talented. They could really go far. And there's that spark in me that makes me want to grab them and say, right, let me put you in front of the world.
It's very exciting, and when it comes to the business, like I'm creatively experienced, and when it comes to business, I've got a lot of experience as well. So I'm well balanced, you know, for the business and creative side. And I've done a lot of things with other types of talent, so I've got a good eye for what's good, who's not, you know, who's good.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked at a music agency. I've worked as a talent manager. And
incredible.
I've worked for production companies and, you know, so many different things in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Had so many different roles, wore so many different hats in the entertainment industry. So I know how this industry works and what it takes.
And you did very well.
Oh, thank you, Trump.
Yeah.
He has to make an appearance every now and again. What can we say? I mean, we're very blessed to have him on the show. Oh, bless. Is there anything else you wanted to share or ask, Andy?
So your company that you're with does specialize in commercial talent, right? For commercials, you don't do much film.
We do
television.
We've got agents that run the. No, we do. We do. We have a theatrical department for film and television. Yeah, commercial department, stage or theater, and of course the social media. So we do it all across
Fantastic.
The board in L.A. and New York.
Okay.
Well, so
and
you said
about...
Sorry,
Andy.
Yes, we do. I mean, not so much lately because of COVID, but we do. And I plan on going to New York probably this next month,
actually.
Mm-hmm. In August.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
For any of those people listening, if you want to email me, I can tell them my email address on here, right?
Yeah, of course. Whatever you want to share, sweetheart.
Feel free to email me, but make sure you've got everything put together, looking good. Your email or email your resume, your headshots and reels at anthony@atbtalent.com.
Fantastic. And you mentioned earlier about a video you did. Was it a YouTube video explaining on the subject we were touching on at the time about how to do something?
Yeah. So
where can that be found?
My Instagram page is Anthony Anthony underscore J period underscore Esposito. So Anthony J Esposito is my Instagram page. And it's pretty much, it's the same thing for YouTube and Facebook as well. And LinkedIn and everything else. It's my name. And I do like to make videos. I come from that background, so I know how to create a lot of content. I love to put out stuff that's very helpful for everybody. And not just helpful, but entertaining as well. I really enjoy it. Outside of being an agent, that's what I do.
That's so great.
Feel free to check it out, especially for those people that want to know or learn more about the industry. I have a lot of videos on there, coming from a talent agent's perspective. That'll be helpful.
That is incredible, Anthony. And I'm sure, we're also grateful for that because I love it when people give back. I love it. Anthony, you're awesome. You're truly awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
We've had many people come up to us and just, ask questions.
What's up, Doc?
Yeah, we offer a carrot, fish sandwich.
Yeah, we.
that's a bit of an inside joke, the fish sandwich, Anthony.
Yeah,
apologies.
So it's great to have you on board. Great to have you on board. And I want to
absolutely.
Thank you for having me on board. I'm very excited to be a part of the show and this experience.
You're welcome.
If you ever need me again, feel free to reach out.
We would
love to have you back.
And we'll take you up on that. And thank you. Real quick, I just wanted to touch before we let you go here.
Sure.
You were in the Marines for 4 years. Were you any combat action in that 4 years, or was that between conflicts?
Yeah. Two tours to Iraq.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
What was that like over there? Just spending a bit of time with that. Tell us what that experience was like.
I was there from 2000, in the military from 2006 to 10. And, it wasn't 2003 where things were more dangerous. It was still dangerous, but not as bad. I don't know. I knew what I was getting myself into.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I loved it. I was a young, crazy young guy and had a lot of fun. Sometimes I wish I was still in, but I have too much ambition and, love for life, and I wanted to get out and experience the world. So I did after 4 years, and here we are today.
Incredible. I have a lot of respect for anybody who places themselves in the forces. It's just incredible. I admire you for that and everyone else who's out there doing that. Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
And did you see direct, in terms of your business and your experience in the industry you serve, how bad was the COVID impact?
The industry pretty much shut down. A lot of agencies shut down. I was actually laid off from my previous talent agency that I was working at because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And I was looking for work. A lot of other agents and agencies were saying that they weren't working. You know, everything was closed, and that was for the most part of COVID. And then I finally got a hold of Todd, who is the owner of HEB Talent. And he was still working, grinding it out, and that really inspired me, and he offered me an opportunity to work with him, and I took it.
Wow.
I'm glad it worked out. Obviously, it worked out very well for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow.
Yeah.
Bless you, darling. Bless you.
Yep. So we'll stay in touch. It'd be great to have you back on the show and make you, Andy and Amanda show, Coast to Coast family here. And I'm sure our listeners have, we always get some great response from listeners. And our email here, if you want to get in touch with Anthony, you can do so via the show as well at the andyandamandashow@gmail.com or give us a call at 515-605-9888. Always open to hear from you. And if you need us to pass anything along, we'll be glad to do that. So, Anthony, thank you very much for joining us on today's show, and we look forward to having you back. And you have a great day there, and again, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Anthony.
You guys so much.
Thank you. Right, it's been an absolute pleasure having you, darling, and we look forward to speaking to you again.
Likewise. I'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you so much.
No worries. Take care, darling. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, what a great conversation.
I know.
Great conversation.
I really enjoyed that, Andy. It was amazing. Such an insight.
Terrific. Yeah, really a lot of fun. A lot of insight, too. Especially, I personally was gaining from the conversation only when I came out to L.A., I'd never had an ambition to be an actor. And I've done 22 shows and one commercial, but 22 shows, indie films. I've had some leading roles. I was involved in production of a TV pilot and from nowhere. So, and I don't, I had a couple of people get me gigs, agencies, but I don't have an agency I work with or anybody. I'm not really, that's not what I do for a living, but I've gotten work, So, from that perspective, personally, it was great to hear his take and advice on the industry and for emerging actors and that there is opportunity out there. And again, as we were discussing just a while ago, that in the commercial business, put aside film, put aside television, just commercials, they're always, always looking for new faces and new talent. All the time. Because, again, on TV, and how many times you see the same person representing 15 different products?
Well, this is very, very true. No, this is true. I mean, they got to keep it fresh, haven't they? Because, I guess people, the consumer, the viewer, whatever you want to label it as, see a product or it's like watching the same ad over and over again and getting tired of watching it. So it would be the same with people, right? People love seeing different actors and new faces and singers and all sorts. So people do get tired of seeing the same thing, whether it's a personal or a physical item. It's just, you're absolutely right, Andy. And I guess we don't really see it that way. We don't really think deeply enough on it, I guess. I'm sure there's plenty of people who think deeply on these things, but, on the surface, we don't really question that deeply with things like that.
Yeah.
It's always fascinating hearing it from the horse's mouth. Someone within the industry who's seen it all and heard it all and done it all and hearing things like that. It's incredible. So fascinating. I love this job, Andy, don't you? I mean, it's just so, so interesting and varied, speaking to all these wonderful guests and sharing my time with you, my darling.
Absolutely. We're going to move right along here. Let me see. Let me push the right button again because, we are remote right now, so I'm doing so differently. Hello there.
Yes.
Hello. Do we have...
Hello, Lee?
Hello.
Hey, yes. It's my boy Lee.
My radio family.
Yay. How you doing, sweetheart?
Oh my gosh, I'm doing amazing. I've got Will on with us as well. Will, you there?
Hi. How's it going, guys? Good to hear from you again.
Hey, Will. Hi, darling. You doing good?
I'm doing wonderful. I meant to say last time we talked, I have a sister who lives in the UK.
You do? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, she lives in a place called Totnes.
Ooh, where did I think that? Yes.
She also lived in Devon.
Oh, Devon. I love Devon. Wow, that's incredible. That's so cool. How long has she been here, darling?
I have not visited her yet, though.
What? Will,
no,
what are
she's
you
been asking
at?
Me.
Oh, bless. Oh, I'm sure she'll be thrilled to see you. Have you ever been in the UK?
No, no, I haven't. I haven't. It's on my bucket list. It looks absolutely beautiful, you know,
Darling, someday. You've got to come here. Yeah, you've got to come here one day. Everybody will try and convince you. Right, our UK listeners, we've got to try and convince Will to get over here in the UK, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been through London Airport previously a few times, but never spent time in London prior to COVID. I was over there for some time and absolutely fell in love with it. I still have people raving about what a great city that is. Great, great, great city. And so much culture and so much history.
Yeah,
really
that's the one thing I love about
UK. I would
love to
see Shakespeare's theater house.
Oh, yeah. That's something to see, definitely. There's so many wonderful things. I love all the heritages we have here and the sacred sites like Stonehenge and all the so much mystery here. It's incredible. And, you know, I'm not so much of a big UK tourist. I've lived here my whole life and there's still places I've not seen. It's like, come on now. We're a fraction of the size of the US and I still haven't seen it all. What's going on?
Hey, Lee, are you on speakerphone?
No, I'm trying to figure out where the feedback's coming from. It's not not from me.
Oh.
Use your feedback?
Well, yeah, I heard a little feedback.
It went away.
Oh. Ooh, it's vanished.
Oh.
I think he was on speakerphone.
We'll just will it away, yeah.
Why have you come here?
guys, get us up to speed. What's been going on? What do we need to know?
Oh man, Lee, you wanna take any? I promised him this time I'm not gonna rant.
Oh, but we enjoyed your ranting. Don't worry about it.
Well, thank you. You hear that, Lee? Thank you.
Okay, smartass. But what's going on this week? Go ahead.
Well, we should probably lead with the biggest thing, which is why I'm just giddy and saying hi to complete strangers, so happy, because you know for 8 months, the longer we go in this saga, and it's a saga, the longer we go in this, the deeper things get and the bigger things get, and in the beginning we sounded like conspiracy theorists that had a little bit of credibility only because GameStop screamed up from $20 to $480 and then back down to whatever it did, $30. You know, so that was enough to get people's attention, but, you know, most people don't care about the stock market. They don't understand what's happening. It was nice to see so many people like, yeah, stick it to Wall Street, but they didn't understand how or why, and they definitely didn't know that it is far from over. That was the beginning.
Yeah.
And as we go on, more and more evidence kind of lends credibility to what we're saying. And at this point now, anybody who's a naysayer, I just redirect them to the DTCC, who last week put out something that apes are calling the mother of all filings. I'm leaving out another F word.
That's
that in this 300-page, it's this 300-page legalese document that confirms everything we've been saying and braces for impact. Right now, behind the scenes, you know, the squeeze hasn't begun yet, but Wall Street's scared to death.
Yeah.
They're scared.
There's
a black hole. There's a black hole out there, and we don't know when we're going to cross that event horizon, but it sure seems close.
Yes. I think tension's building,
and
for sure.
And in this filing, what's that?
I think tension is building for sure.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
It is, and the movement that we're seeing is no longer Redditors saying, you know, read this and let's do that. It's now
actual institutions. For God's sakes, the head of the SEC, Gary Gensler, has only been on Twitter for a week, and he just tweeted about GameStop yesterday.
Right.
He just tweeted and said he called out what happened and once again doubled down on his rhetoric that as it is right now, the stock market is broken. The entire thing. I wouldn't buy a damn stock other than AMC and GameStop right now. I would not do it. And the reason is it's rigged. And it's no longer us saying that. It's, let me explain, the DTCC is the bank of banks. It is the clearinghouse that all transactions go through. They're the ones who just said extremely over-leveraged hedge funds, naked shorting, and they set up a system in place. See, if when the squeeze happens, who pays for it, right? When the share price jumps to $50,000 a share, who pays for that?
Yeah.
So the DTCC does. The DTCC does. They're on the hook. Yeah. Imagine your son has a cocaine problem, and he ran off to Vegas with your credit card. At some point, you're responsible for what he's done, and they are. They have to pay the bill. So to protect, there not all of Wall Street's bad. Not everybody took part in this, and they're trying to protect, let's say, the good guys and the bad guys, and they're trying to wall off so that this isn't some inferno forest fire. It's a controlled burn.
Yes.
And I promise, I'm slowing down. I won't rant, but it's important. This is a fundamental thing to understand what will happen in the coming week, who knows, coming day, coming weeks, coming month, who knows. The share price skyrockets. Apes refuse to sell. They can't get shares anywhere but us. We own 400 or 500% of the float. They can't buy them. Imagine if I took your car title, photocopied it a bunch of times, and sold your car, never delivering your car, and then the cops show up and say, just give us back the original car, and your buddy has it. And your buddy goes, how bad do you want it? So, this is basic supply and demand. We set the price.
Yeah.
So
when
that happens, what happens is the hedge funds go poof. They're all of their assets, it begins with a margin call into liquidation. All of their assets, well, their assets are stocks. Who do you think hedge funds are? They're rich people. That's who invests in hedge funds. You need $1 million minimum just to invest with them. And they're aggressive, they're high risk, and they make huge returns because why wouldn't they? They're an organized crime syndicate.
Yeah.
So they get liquidated. Well, liquidated means your 401k goes to zero or it gets completely pummeled because let's say they're holding, I don't know, $1 billion in Amazon or some other blue chip. If that gets liquidated and $1 billion disappears from that stock, what do you think happens to that stock price? What about all the people who are also invested in that stock, whose 401k is with that stock? I give you 2008 times 10. Right. So what the DTCC did, they put out this document saying, this is coming. This is really bad. This is a historic event that is coming. And in order to prevent a stock market crash, that would make 2008 look like a bad day, they've set up a pawn shop for these hedge funds. They're saying, trade us your long positions. We will take them without selling them so they don't crash, and we will front you the money as if you sold them. We will pay for this. Either way, they go away because they're never, you know, they can't repay it. If they owe 4 billion shares of AMC at $5,000 a share, right?
Yeah.
Well, and you got to keep in mind that the DTCC in 2019 traded over $2 quadrillion dollars in securities, so they've got the money to cover it.
And if they don't, the Federal Reserve pays. It goes up a hierarchy. All matters must be settled. Period.
Yeah.
Matters must be settled. There's no just going, you know what, guys, this can't be done. Oops, it got way too out of control. We just need to walk away. You can't. It doesn't work that way. So if the DTCC goes bankrupt, then the Federal Reserve printers fire up and they print. They print money.
Right.
Which I don't think it comes to that, but.
Right. I've been looking into printing money, but I didn't get very far. Yeah.
So in the last week that we've spoken, I would say the highest supreme authority over the stock market, again, confirmed what we've been saying and is bracing for impact.
Yeah.
Now, you'll know when we cross the event horizon because you won't be able to buy AMC shares anymore or GameStop or any of the other shorted ones.
Yeah.
Because there shouldn't be any shares to buy. You can go on the market right now and buy a bunch of shares of AMC. You're buying counterfeits. They don't exist.
Yeah. Shouldn't be able to. But when it's not able to, that's when the squeeze is going to happen, and that's when everybody's going to, the people that got in. When they didn't, they didn't. So
it's a private
Andy,
party
I don't know
at
if
that
you
point.
Got in yet.
Wow, it's certainly exciting, though, isn't it, waiting for that? Wow.
Yeah.
Can that be stopped? Can they stop this squeeze from happening?
No.
It's imminent.
What they can do is psychologically make you quit, which is what they've been trying to do for 8 months.
Yes.
What they can do is drag it out longer so that you're not looking at a sharp Mount Everest. You're looking at a dragged out long hill. But at the end of the day, if an investor holding shares of AMC refuses to sell them until the price is what they want for their shares, there's nothing stopping them. There's no one putting a gun to your head saying you have to sell these shares. And if they refuse to sell, they understand that they can't close their position without your shares. Because the ones that are, like right now, these synthetic shares that are out there, they go poof as soon as they buy them. They disappear. They cannot close a position with that. They need the shares that Lee and myself and everybody that bought out the float back between January and, I don't know, let's say May, they need our shares. And we are the most pissed off, stubborn, diamond-handed apes that they've ever encountered, and we're simply not selling. Not for cheap.
Yeah.
Everybody has a price. Every single investor in this situation, every ape has a price. And as a courtesy to one another, we tend to not share that because it puts pressure on other people.
Yes.
But again, right now in the secondary books, AMC is trading between institutions. We should clarify this because we said this last time, and I want to clarify. The price of a real AMC share trading between institutions through some dark pools is trading at $8,000 a share.
Right.
$8,100.
So while I would never advise people.
So, we were at between 5 and 6,000 a share last week when we were on the show. 8,100 is what we're at, the last that I saw.
And again,
so
clarity, because I want to make sure that what we're saying is clear to people that don't understand the stock market. What that means isn't that all shares are going. What it means is it's so hard to locate a real share of our stock that when they're found between J.P. Morgan and Susquehanna hedge funds, they're charging each other upwards of $8,000 a share. That the supply and demand is very skewed.
Wow.
And that's what will happen in a short squeeze.
Right. Okay.
Only worse.
Let me ask you a question. If I go on, I think AMC is at 36-something now. GameStop closed at 161, I think, or something like that. I can go buy an AMC, it's a counterfeit. It's not a real share, I guess, is what you're saying, right? If I at the 36.
Well, no. Again, for your purposes, it's a real share. For their purposes, it can't be used to close out their position. So it's bad for them. They should stop selling them. But it's good for you. You buy that share. It's real to you. It's real to you because it confers all the same rights as a normal share. You bought it through a brokerage. It's essentially they're diluting our stock without the stockholders' permission. It's illegal.
Gotcha.
Right.
Wow.
Also, I want to point out again. I didn't. What's that?
So I could in a sense go buy a share for $36, and what's that? That's a cup of Starbucks coffee, right? So $36, I can well, I'm not far off, and then sit and that I mean that $36 could present a tremendous amount of money in the not too distant future.
Yes. And you will turn around and sell that share for an exponentially higher price in a short squeeze. You know, again, I'm not a financial advisor. This is based on data that you should do for yourself and verify what I say to you. Everyone should make their own informed decision. Everything
Absolutely.
Else I'm about to say is my speculative opinion based on endless obsessive research. Yes, you would buy that share, $36, and in a month when a short squeeze happens and it goes up to 5, 6, 7, 8,000 higher, you turn around and you sell it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the idea. That we have led as many horses to water as we can possibly lead. There's a reason that we're calling this the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of the stock market.
It's incredible what
what's
history
about
takes
to happen
place.
Is so mammoth, is so big that it will send shockwaves throughout the market for years to come. What's about to hit is it's unprecedented, and it should never have been able to happen. You have to understand that there are in existence 500 million shares of AMC, but what needs to be purchased back is in the billions, and the only people to buy those shares from are refusing to sell. That makes the price go up. That makes the price go up exponentially. And until they decide to sell, there is no limit. There is no limit to a short position's losses. It is infinite. So do I believe this will happen? No. I want to because I love my AMC community, but theoretically, mathematically, mechanically,
impossible.
You could see $100 million a share. I mean, there's no limit. Realistically, people are going to see bank account figures that they've never seen before. I mentioned last time, I mean, I saw $80,000 in my account. I've never had that kind of money. And now I don't check my brokerage app because I don't want to see that number. I don't want it to influence me. I have my number that I will sell at. And so I just check the ticker on something else. And I don't even do that anymore. Like I said, I didn't even know what the stock price was. How about you just mentioned GameStop at 160? What a joke. Did you know that GameStop just moved to the S&P 400 yesterday? And for the first time, it went down in value for being upgraded to the S&P 400.
What?
This is ridiculous. It's a video game. It's a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, that number's not real. That number, all that number means right now is how much do you have to trade for Willy Wonka's golden tickets to the moon?
I've always wanted Willy Wonka's golden ticket. I got to be honest.
And you should.
Here it is.
Just even today, it dropped about $5 a share, 165 to 160, 161 right now, wherever, somewhere in there.
That's incredible.
But yeah, it's going down.
Anything you're seeing is the result of a computer. It has an algorithm that it runs. I mean, we've been able to accurately predict where the price goes up and down. It's a fugazi. It's not real. It's made up.
Yeah.
It's not the actual price of the stock. It doesn't reflect anything. Again, that was echoed by the president of the New York Stock Exchange. Yesterday, 91% of everyone buying a share of AMC had their order redirected through a dark pool so it didn't affect the price.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's the most blatant manipulation. What you're seeing is a criminal syndicate that who, by the way, was called out just as such on LinkedIn by some other financial analysts. I mean, this is no longer just, first of all, they don't even know who we are. They don't realize that we're 6 million people in the continental United States alone, millions more worldwide. And I myself am a professor. I'm highly educated. But they refer to us by all kinds of pejoratives. We're basement dwellers. We're doing this with stimulus money. Excuse me, sir. I'm using very hard-earned money that I need, but I'm investing in a company that I believe in. This is our real money. And they can't beat us because we're everyone. This is the people versus Wall Street. It truly is.
And you have every right to be there, just as much as they do.
You've got Wall Street. You've got Wall Street coming in now. You've got these big institutions coming in, and like Fidelity, they just dropped a whole bunch of money. Charles Schwab
came in on it.
Vanguard came in
and BlackRock.
And
institutions are buying AMC in record numbers. We see that through 13F filings. And the ones that were already holding AMC, we're talking about big institutions, investing groups, they're doubling down at the $40 strike price.
Wow.
BlackRock is sometimes referred to as the fourth arm of the government. I mean, they're frigging huge. That's who bails out the government. I mean, they have more money than they know what to do with. They're also the ones buying houses at 30% above market right now. So they're looking to be your next landlord. I'm not saying they're good guys, but they just happen to be on our side in this. And the New Jersey Pension Fund just bought 250,000 shares yesterday. And pension funds are not allowed to buy risky stocks. Oh, we have insurance companies buying shares of AMC. If there's anyone who's risk averse, it's the damn insurance companies, and even they see the writing on the wall.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they're
That's
buying
incredible.
These shares that are out there. They're buying the shares that aren't real, right? That's what they're buying.
Right? Yeah, they're not real. They bought 244,000 shares of a stock that was sold out for months. They all got to get bought back. Every short sale is just a buy later on.
Wow.
So every time they manipulate our price down, every time they knock the price down, it's so predictable. Every time they do this, I'm like, okay, thanks. You just made the rocket go higher. Every single time you manipulate the price. So if anyone out there is listening that is interested in becoming rich and investing in this, I'm not a financial advisor, you have to understand that this is something that you buy and hold, and you don't expect. This is not the normal. First of all, the stock market is dead. It doesn't exist. There's not a single stock out there that isn't heavily manipulated. And unless you work for a bank, you're getting a raw deal. That's what the SEC director just said. It's slanted against you. You have no chance. They see what you're doing, and it goes through them, and they're allowed to place bets against you and then manipulate your buy so that they win. If somebody were to buy AMC today, I would tell them, now ignore it. Set a price alert. Set it so that when the stock price goes above $300, your phone goes off. And forget that you own those shares. I'll take them to the grave with me. They're just not for sale. Buy them and hold them. That's it. That's all you got to do.
Is there any way of knowing?
And don't worry about the price. It went down $2.
What would your assessment, just from the information that you've gathered, is there any way of knowing about how long this might take before you can really make a great windfall on this investment, if you were to make one?
Right. Well, that's the million-dollar question. When's the squeeze? All I can say, because anybody that tells you they know is a liar, but what I can say is what you do is you have to zoom out and you have to look at the big picture of where's the movement. And right now we're seeing all of the key foundational monolithic the stock market itself preparing for this event. So it's close enough that the banks are getting real nervous. But nobody – I have my own personal, speculation that August, September. However, no one can know that for sure. And this should have happened already. They will drag this out and go down kicking and screaming because you're talking about two things. You're talking about putting hedge funds out of business, sort of. They protected their money. They sent it to the Cayman Islands. They'll be fine. This is criminals know how to protect their money. But the bigger thing at play here is you embarrassed. I'm not going to say his name. Anyone involved in this knows who I'm referring to, but he's very litigious.
Yeah.
But you embarrassed a man who thought of himself as the king of Wall Street.
Right.
And he's got a real nasty black eye because the whole world sees this. They're laughing at this. He gambled with such irresponsibility because you got to understand, why would they short 4 billion shares knowing they can't buy them back? Because their intention was never to buy them back. Their intention was to drive this company into bankruptcy. and they don't owe, they don't even owe taxes on their gain if they do that. And that's what they do. Again, I started to say this. Pharmaceutical companies come out with incredible advancements, medical advancements, but they conflict with hedge funds with long positions in Pfizer and other pharmaceuticals, and they short them into oblivion. And the next thing you know, a company, a small little team of scientists that are excited to cure Alzheimer's disappears in 2 weeks, never heard from again. And they don't owe anything back. That's what I'm telling you. These people are assassins. They're thugs. And they decide what lives and dies in the market. And it's whatever they have their money in.
That's so scary.
But what they never saw coming.
Yeah.
What they never saw coming was us. They never saw people buying these shares, and now they need them back. But we don't want to give them back.
Yeah.
And we're bleeding them dry. They've lost billions upon billions of dollars already, and we're not letting go. And, you know, like the movie The Predator, if it bleeds, we can kill it.
Yeah.
And they're bleeding. They're hemorrhaging.
Is the person who's going to be embarrassed, isn't that Tom Cruise, the Wall Street guy?
Oh, wait, I was thinking it was going to be Michael Douglas, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie. That was so good.
But something good is something good that I plan to do with this. I'm giving away most of my gain. I have no aspirations to be wealthy. I have two daughters. I have a 2-year-old and I have a 7-year-old. And this is a unique opportunity to travel with them. And I have this recurring fantasy of watching the sunset over Lake Tahoe. I would love to run with my dogs through the redwoods barefoot.
Yeah.
I want to see the Grand Canyon, Yellowstone, and share that with my kids while it's still magical for them. But I'm giving away the rest, and I'm also going to be starting a nonprofit organization that I want to go into school. I'm a teacher by education, by trade, you know, educational psychology, but I was a high school teacher for a little while. I want to go into school districts that are in impoverished school districts that I grew up poor, and I know exactly what it's like, and there's no financial literacy there, and no one is going to give you the tools to break your own chains. I want to go into schools and I want to teach them that money is a game and it's being played against you. And this is how you play back. And I want to teach them what index funds are, what margin trading. I'll teach everything. I'll teach it all. I'll teach them what cryptocurrency is and blockchain technology and that it's intentionally shrouded in this scary, big-worded, complex illusion. And it's not. It's not complicated. It's not complicated.
Yeah.
And with very little money, you can be on your way to, getting into a better situation in life.
Well, I'm a prime example
and that's
of
what I
someone
do.
Who's... Yeah, I admire that, Will. I truly do. I mean, I'm a prime example of someone who's always been extremely nervous about, you know, when you hear about the stock market, it looks intimidating. As soon as you see it, it looks very complicated. Yeah, exactly. And you hear so many things about it. And then you watch movies like Wall Street. And it's like, okay, look at the stress that goes on there within the whole business side of things, how they deal with it, how it's managed, the day-to-day runnings of it. And then you got all these complicated terms that you mentioned. And for the average person looking at it, they're immediately like, Nope, that's not for me. No, too stressful, too risky.
Right.
And they don't have
exactly
the right education.
That's exactly what they want. Wall Street wants you to leave them alone. That's what they want. They want you dumb, put money in your 401k, and leave us alone. And apes are, I mean, really, now there's bears, bulls, and apes, because we ain't going anywhere. We're here now. You can't put Pandora back in the box. Well, actually, I guess Pandora owns the box. You know what I'm saying. Yeah, whatever.
I know.
My point, though, is there's no one ringing this bell. We're here now, and we know how this is played. Now, they'll adjust their strategy, and that's fine. Keep playing. But, you know, Warren Buffett was the one who figured out a long time ago, you know, they did a study over like a 10-year span, and the portfolios that performed the best, 100% of the top performing portfolios were people that were dead. They can't sell. So like the whole buy and hold strategy, it works for everything. Yeah. It works for baseball cards, works for wine, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't work
yeah.
for milk, but it works for stocks.
I've heard it works.
You don't understand,
for the
you don't lose anything if you don't sell. You don't lose anything.
Yeah.
So
can I ask a question though? You guys mentioned about how the whole industry, that side of things, is going to change because of this big squeeze that's come in, and you know how much they can't afford this. So how is it we perceive this playing out? How will it affect them and the consequences of this? I mean,
what they're doing is illegal in the UK.
Really?
It's illegal everywhere else. It's illegal in the UK.
Right.
The practices that they're employing, it's legal here.
Right.
But not many other places.
Think it's going to stay legal like that. You know, I think that there's a lot of changes coming from this. You know, they just posted that the federal government is raining down on these hedge fund CEOs as we speak with jail time, you know, just for their illegal activities and what they're doing. So this has kind of put like a magnifying glass on everyone, and everyone's looking at these, you know, what these, you know, market makers are doing, these hedge funds are doing, and it's just not going to be good for them. So, you know, if some of these top CEOs, you know, of let's say Citadel or you know, some of these top institutions go to jail for this, that's going to change the way people do business. You know,
well, until now,
it's not worth making the money to go to jail. It's just not, you know.
No.
Well, let's touch on that, too, because until now, it's been slapped on the wrist. I mean, if you find a hedge fund, and by the way, Citadel was according to my research, allegedly, and whatever other words I got to use for their legal team, Citadel was banned from trading in China for 5 years due to the very freaking practices they're employing now. They have a laundry list of charges, but the problem is that when you get $1 million fine, that's a lot to me and you, but if they made $100 billion, then it's the cost of business.
Yes.
So you're not going to change anything unless you actually hold people responsible. And let's not mince words. 2008 was caused by the exact same behavior, and banks are guilty too. Who do you think empowers them? In fact, today, the Federal Reserve is supposed to release a report at 4... what time is it? It should be out now. It's supposed to come out at 4:15 today that will list just how leveraged banks are to hedge funds. So that's going to be a fun read.
Ooh.
And, you know, if you're only worth $30 billion, but you're leveraged to $200 billion, I mean, we just saw what happened. I forget how to pronounce the name of the hedge fund, Archipelagos or whatever they were. Can't recall the name of them, but that's exactly what happened to them. They were over leveraged. Well, let's find out who else is over leveraged. But the new head of SEC enforcement, my full time job, I work for the state government, and the person who was just pegged for the head of the SEC enforcement was our top prosecutor from New Jersey. First time in history, it wasn't a corporate lawyer; it's actually a prosecutor now. We're excited that change is possible. I don't get down on that doom and gloom stuff, all right? Like, you know, there's no point in throwing up our hands and saying the world is rigged against us. It is, but that there's nothing you could do about it. Bullshit, and we're going to show the whole world that you can fight back and that bad guys don't always win.
No, I mean, eventually, you know, things go full circle. And no matter what in this world, things end up going full circle. And this seems to be that kind of situation where the term karma, you know, is creeping in and saying, okay, well, it's time now that people get what they deserve. You know, things have been held against us for so long. And it sounds like I'm instigating something. I'm not trying to be another Trump here, by the way, people. I'm just expressing that, you know, things do go full circle. And eventually the tables are turned, whether it's on a business, you know, an individual, no matter what it is, it happens. And it seems to me like this is one of those situations, the scenarios that's playing out. And it's such a fascinating thing to witness in our history. And if you think about it, these past couple of years have been incredible. You know, watching COVID
play out, something we never thought would happen. Now we're watching something happening with Wall Street that's just another incredible situation. You know, not forgetting what happened with 9/11 and how that crippled the situation. But, you know, it's such an interesting time to witness, and the potential that we have to be part of it as well. That's what's even more incredible.
Yeah. And so many little things, like side effects, came out of this. You mentioned Trump, and what was really interesting was those of us in the AMC and GameStop meme stock situation, we got such a welcome relief for the first time since, 2015, where none of us care anymore who you voted for and all this. And it's funny, but I was listening to Steve Bannon, who's very in support of this movement. And I sat there going, my first reaction was, God, of all people, you know, because I tend to be a little more on the left side of the spectrum. And I'm listening, I'm like, God, of all people, he's telling the truth. And then I sat there and I thought, I've watched the media lie. I've watched them manipulate the truth blatantly over the last 8 months revolving around my stock. I'm not saying I agree with political views of the right, but what I'm saying is, I'm willing to hear you out because, you know, everybody that was jumping up and down saying fake news, it's like, I believe you. And why did I hate this man when I didn't know the first thing about him? And now I'm listening to him talk, and I'm like, okay, that's an intelligent point. What they're doing to us trying to shake people out of this stock is what I think they're doing to all of us. They're manipulating truth. And I hope that your show and this medium is the future of communication. I mean, look, I don't want anybody out there to just automatically believe what I'm saying. Check it for yourself.
And know
that it's being concealed from you.
Yeah, and this is something we've encouraged on the show many a time, Andy and I. We've had so many discussions about this, that everything we share and how deeply we go with this is our perception of the experience that we're all going through. And we always say for everybody else to do their research, check the news, you know, think for yourself. Don't just rely on everything that's being fed to you, because that's the most important thing, getting in touch with yourself with all of this.
Right. Well, the biggest thing when it comes to investing is to know someone that can teach you, because you cannot rely on, I mean, just for fun, I'll check Google's news. They'll aggregate all of these market news, and I'm like, bullshit, or like that spun a certain way, or this or that. And you know, people that don't know any better, they see Jim Cramer jumping up and down saying, do this, do that, and that's unfortunately, I hate to break the news, but there's absolutely no one out there trying to make you rich.
The best thing to do
is to educate yourself.
That's true. What do you think of Tesla stock?
Well, again, it's another heavily manipulated stock. Elon has come out several times and outright said that, and said he hates the shorts. It's why he seems so, like, he has a disdain for his own stock, because it's a heavily manipulated stock. I love Tesla, and I think Tesla has a bright future. But the problem is, what's real anymore? Is that the real price? Is that the manipulated price? Is that and you know, anybody that says anything is overvalued, take that with a grain of salt, because how do you tell us what we value? Maybe that's what we think it's valued at, and that's all stock price is. So, you know, you can't apply fundamentals anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I think has to change here. I mean, it absolutely has to change from, you know, if I'm looking at an AMC stock right now and it's, you know, trading at 36, that's not the real price, or Tesla's trading at this and that's not the real price. Well, then, you know, who the hell wants to play that game? Exactly.
Yeah.
So you got, you know, these retail investors, you know, this is a record high number, more than ever has come into the market, and we're all doing our research.
We are the market.
This is bullshit.
Now.
We are the market. So
this
is like, you know,
and you know what? First one
to
come out, there's a reason Fidelity is kicking so much butt right now. In case you didn't know, everyone migrated to Fidelity that's involved in the AMC GameStop situation, especially away from that, you know, in my personal opinion, that cesspool that is Robinhood. Everyone moved over to Fidelity because Fidelity has this great track record, because for a long time they were sort of boring. They were very vanilla. It's where you go to hold these 401ks and everything. But they didn't sell anyone out in January. They didn't turn off the ability to buy like so many others did. And Fidelity got a onrush of millions of us moving over to them, and they've stepped up. Great customer service. Couldn't be happier. And
wow.
You know, Vanguard, same situation. Vanguard and Fidelity are very similar. Anyway, I lost my train of thought. There's so much to say.
You know, I was thinking about the whole psychological side of it.
There's a gold mine here. There's a gold mine for those involved in the stock market, banks, et cetera. The first one that comes forward and says, we're not going to do this, that we're going to direct, like Fidelity allows you to direct your stock purchases directly to the New York Stock Exchange. Great.
Right.
They're one of the very few that let you do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like trying to play poker, but your opponent gets to see your cards the whole time.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you're buying shares that are being redirected towards the bad acting market makers. They get like 40-50% of all retail trades go through them.
Wow.
And they're allowed to hold your order for 30 days if they want to, 35 days.
Right,
they're allowed to do whatever they want with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so groups like Fidelity, you know, they're coming out on top. Basically, it pays to be a good guy is what I'm trying to get around to saying.
Yeah.
It pays to be a good guy.
It does.
You know, this is a whole new generation. We see through bullshit.
I hear so many people, I mean, going back to the psychological side of things, I hear so many people say, oh, this is crap. You know, this is a load of crap that people are trying to manipulate something. I'm like, wait a minute. Have you ever walked into a supermarket? This is a conversation I have with somebody. I said, have you ever walked into a supermarket? They said, yes. I said, have you walked in and smelt the fresh bread, baking away. They said, yes. I said, did it make you want to buy it? They said, yes. I said, did you know that in a supermarket, everything is tactically placed so that when you walk in, you smell these things, you see these things, psychologically, it makes you want to buy it. And they're like, okay. I said, so what makes you think that that isn't happening on other levels in society, in government, in politics, whatever it is? Everything is designed to make you buy things, spend your money, not touch things, you know, it's all there. And that really made that person stop. So I'm not going to mention names, obviously, but it really made them stop. And they paused for a moment. They were like, you know, that's actually a valid point. I was like, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it pays to be open-minded and really think about these things.
Absolutely. You think that they don't, if they can do that in a grocery store, that's not happening everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, look, to make this into like, you know, doom or gloom or too deep or anything, but really objectively.
Four carriers of the plague who will infect their miserable brethren.
This whole system is built, money has to flow. And this is just the 2021 version of something that human beings have been doing for a very long time throughout our history. There always has to be the haves and the have-nots. And in order for the haves to continue, you have to work, consume, and foot the bill. And this is an uprising. This is a nonviolent financial revolution. That's exactly what's happening. They call us meme stalkers, and I say it's a revolution, and we're winning. And we won't stop. We won't stop until this is over. You have no idea how determined apes are. And the things that you should see, you should go on our subreddits. You should read what we're saying. The intentions behind apes, there's jokes about Lambos. That's a meme among us. Lambos, you know, it just means when we win, you know, when we get our Lambos.
I mean, I'm
buying
one, just saying.
Okay. you definitely would. You'd get it in bright red, I swear to God. But if you look at what we're doing, the intentions behind this, first of all, the government gets 50% of our capital gains. We're about to pay back the stimulus. We're about to prevent a depression with the money that we willingly and gladly give back. That's the name of the game. We don't have any accounts in the Cayman Islands, okay?
No.
But also, what apes are planning to do with their money. I have seen nothing but ideas. Well, I want to start a nonprofit to teach poor kids how to invest money. There's other people that they're paying off their parents' mortgage. The good intention behind this, you're going to see what happens when the money returns to the people. We may buy a sailboat, hookers, and cocaine, I'm sure. But...
yeah. Well, you know.
And invite me.
Yeah, okay.
You made $3.5 million.
Oh, I love it. I love it. But it's true, though. I mean, you know, you get.
You made $3.5 million.
Oh, really, Trump? Thank you for that. But yeah, people do get pigeonholed and put labeled, especially by, you know, those in authority, to make everybody look bad. As soon as any crime, well, not any crime, but certain crimes are committed, immediately the media labels that person as a terrorist when, you know, it's not necessarily the case. So that's a prime example of, you know, this type of
branding. Oh, yeah, and they'll blame us.
Yeah, they'll find a way
GameStop's been described as a black hole because it's going to pull down so much with it.
Right.
They'll blame us. They'll say Redditors and meme stalkers crashed the stock market. But we're prepared for that. And we've been carefully documenting this entire scenario. It's not going to fly.
Okay.
That's why you have to know
sick,
that, you know,
stupid, ridiculous, obnoxious, vulgar, disgusting, whatever the case may be.
Yes.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Andy.
Was that Denzel Washington? Is that like Denzel Washington?
No, that was, who was our caller? That was Jackie Mason.
Oh, okay. Jackie Mason.
Oh, cool. Love it. What was you saying? Sorry, Dan.
So I was just saying that, you know, that the federal government is on our side with this, and they're the lawmakers.
Yeah.
So they, you know, you have the SEC, the lawmakers.
Yes.
You got the federal government is the lawmakers. If we win, they win. So why in the world would they try and do anything to prevent them from getting trillions of dollars as well? You know what I mean?
Oh,
so you have to think about they're on our side as well. They get half of everything we get. So if I'm looking at, you know, a couple million, well, they're going to get a million of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
you know what? And on that,
they want that.
I were talking about this one time. There was a moment where Biden came out, and so far I've only seen him raise one tax, and that was the capital gains tax right back around March or April, and that happened real quick. Right about when this is taking shape. Yeah. I feel like the government, you know, outstretched their hand a little bit. They were like, we want our cut. Hey, you know what? You can have it. You can take your job.
Today for me is a very good day.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, Lee has still been struggling that. I remember when I explained capital gains tax to him, you could see the air being let out of that tire as I was explaining.
What do you mean I got to give half my money away?
Yeah, he was a real chipper. He was like, he was busting out a calculator. He said, this was when he first invested. And he was like, oh, my God, how much are you? And I went, yeah, now cut it in half. And he was like, wait, what?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so let me
now, let me get half.
Let me ask you a question. Again, we're not accountants. We're not financial advisors. We only have discussions as citizens and doing what we want to do with our money and our investments and so forth. So we can't officially give any information, especially accounting and financial information on this show, just so we know.
Correct.
But anyway, aside from that, in capital gains, and again, we're not accountants, so I know that. Somebody needs to consult with their own. If I make $100, I got to give $50 of that $100 back to the government. Can I take that $50 and invest it like in a business or do something else where I can – you know, write it off.
Well,
so
what I would say, I would go right back to your warning. Here's what I would say. People that are invested in these stocks, let's say they happen to have a massive squeeze and you suddenly have a very large amount of money, the very first thing besides shutting up, telling anybody, no good comes of that, the very first thing that anybody should do is go talk to an accountant immediately, and a good accountant. And the first question I would ask that accountant is, are you a fiduciary? Can this be a fiduciary relationship? That's a very important distinction. That means they are legally bound to represent your best interest, and you want to talk to a certified public accountant in a fiduciary relationship and have them advise you on your taxes, your tax-paying options. However, in my layman's understanding, yeah, capital gains tax is a bitch. You're going to pay upwards of 50%. I'm assuming 50% when you include the state, because they also get a cut. I believe 43% is short-term capital gains tax, which is holding an asset for less than a year and selling it. So, hey, listen, Citadel, if you're listening, it don't cost me anything to hold. So if you want to wait till January 1st and I can go on the long-term capital gains tax, I would appreciate it. So please keep playing your dumb game until January.
Wow. That's awesome.
We'll just keep adding to the portfolio. It's all good.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. It doesn't cost us a dime.
Let me ask you this. And again, this is all speculative. There's always a risk anytime you invest, you know, if you're not physically buying something and you're investing instead, of course, investing means you're investing in something. There's a risk involved. The question is, what is the risk here? Is there a possibility the squeeze won't happen?
No. You know, the squeeze has to occur. The only question is when. Again, it's like asking if I throw an apple up into the air, is there a chance it won't come down? It's just mechanics. Now, I know I'm comparing physics to the stock market, but No. There's no way to unwind this devil's tentacles. It has to. All matters must be settled. It can't go on. They've delayed it for as long as they possibly can. However, again, they're not the only parts of the stock market, and the policies that have come out since January until now, they just keep coming. Tighten the leash around the neck of shorts more and more, and it cannot go on because eventually they'll be insolvent. This costs them money. They're the reason that crypto got cut in half, but they're out of money now. See, what you watched was Bitcoin drop from 60,000 down to 30 because that was hedge funds. When you watched Dogecoin get pumped and dumped, which I flipped an easy 700 into 5,000 on because I saw the writing on the wall on that was a pump and dump. And they do it continually, and they're going to keep doing it. And then the news comes out, and they keep trying to explain it. But it's a very simple explanation. It's a pump and dump, and that's how they're making money, because it's better than selling their long positions because, again, they have investors. And who do you think their investors are? They're very wealthy people. They're the freaking Oprahs out there. And when they start seeing their portfolio go down, and they start pulling their money out, they're losing money. So what's better? Use crypto. It's anonymous. It's an easy way to, you know, all they have to do is they have a lot more money than we do. So they start putting a few $1 billion into Bitcoin, and next thing you know, it's on a run. Everybody jump in. The FOMO buyers jump in. Everybody wants to get a piece of that pie. And then it dumps again. And they take all the money, and that's what they've been doing. Anyway, my point is they've been fighting for as long as they can, and each day that we go on, they're suffocating. They're running out of options. There's a saying in the ape community. I haven't heard it for a long time, and I'm going to change it because I don't want to offend anybody. The word retarded is in the word, and that's offensive. So what I'll say is we can stay stupid longer than you can stay solvent, and that's the motto of the apes. We can do this longer than you can because it doesn't cost us anything.
Yes.
We're used to being poor.
Every bar goes by and it just keeps costing them. It keeps costing them every single day. You know, some days we're talking about billions.
Half millions,
you know, you're talking about billions that it's costing them.
Right.
And you
way out of the squeeze. There's no way out of the squeeze. There's just how long can you delay your own execution? How long can you – you know, put this off. However, again, I can't wait. I know I'm about to leave in the next 5 or 10 minutes. My daughter and I have our first karate class together.
Oh,
and,
fantastic.
I'm so excited. I can hear her getting ready, and she's all excited.
Aww.
She's had some self-esteem issues, and I did martial arts when I was a kid, and, you know, it's weird to hear a seven-year-old like start to talk down on themselves. I'm like, what are you doing? So
it's so hard.
Anyway,
to hear that,
on the other side of that, what's that?
Sorry, I said it's so hard to hear that, isn't it, from your daughter or, you know, a little one?
Yeah. They've had a lot to absorb lately.
Yes.
And the poor thing, she painted me a picture the other day of a rocket, and it said to the moon, and it had hands.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Love it.
Well, anyway, after that, I can't wait to sit down and catch up on the constant developments. Not a day goes by. It's not like this is boring. Honestly, this is like playing an online, this feels like I'm playing World of Warcraft, and like the enemy is called the Citadel. Like it feels like we're in a video game. And it's exciting. It's almost like I'm going to be sad when this is over.
You know what? I can appreciate that concept because I'm a gamer myself. Yeah.
I mean, look at us. We're talking right now. We're talking as a result of this.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Let me know this opinion. What do you think, in the few minutes we have left, what do you think the broad base effect will be on the political or the platform, economic platform in the country when this happens? What do you think the result will be, looking beyond just AMC itself?
Well, this is a golden opportunity to reinstill some faith. That's for one.
Yeah.
Like, what side of history do you want to be on with this? And you're talking to a generation. I'm a millennial. I'm 38 years old. And I've never known a government that's honest. I've never known a government to be the good guy. I served in the Army. I joined in August of 2001. Talk about bad timing. And, you know, and then afterward, you're looking back and you're like, you know, what exactly was accomplished and why do we have Marines guarding oil fields and poppy fields? And you start to wonder, like, you know, what exactly, you know, you start to lose your bright-eyed, bushy-tailedness. And this is a chance for Washington to send a message that can be real justice. There can be a system that actually gives a shit about the common people of this country. And I'm so tired of hearing these politicians talk. You know, oh, by the way, Nancy Pelosi's long on AMC, and she always seems to guess the winners. It's very strange. You know, when the COVID pandemic hit, congressmen, and this isn't conspiracy, look it up, there were congressmen that sold their stock in airline companies and in cruise ships industries before they told us what was happening, and that's insider trading, period.
Wow.
So and then they'll get up there and they'll say that Reddit is colluding, and it's infuriating. So to answer your question, I don't know, but I know that there's never been a better opportunity to show millions of people around the world that there really is hope, and that you know, it really is we the people that you know, we can, and that people have a chance, and that you can change the system so that everybody, a rigged stock market is a rigged economy, and it's a rigged future for people. How many people killed themselves in 2008? When they lost everything. Why wouldn't they do this with AMC and GameStop? There was no consequences for them in 2008. In fact, they were rewarded. They were bailed out.
Yeah.
This time, that's what the DTCC paperwork that I'm harping on, it's a bailout, except this time the bailout goes to you.
Yeah.
Well, listen,
it's beautiful. It's poetic.
It is.
We're going to have you hold that thought, and I'd like to invite you back on next Friday. Maybe we can just make a weekly thing of this. Is fabulous conversation.
As we have to
wind the show down here, and this has been how great. I mean, really, I'm learning just by having you on the show. Your premise and what you were just saying, real quick, is what our the platform of our program is all about. You know, we're not professional journalists, or we're not a news company where, you know, we see what's going on. We look behind the scenes, we comment, we talk. It's we're just citizens, and we've generated a radio show which has gone to 22 countries now, and thousands of listeners. And you know, who are
That's
we?
Awesome.
Who are we? You know, and so we're on the same page with you there. We have to run. We have to go. Will, Lee, it's a pleasure having you on. I'd like to pick this up again next week if we can, and talk more and discussion. We'll see where things are, and we'll see how much I'm going to get involved in this soon. I want to talk to you about how one goes about buying these stocks so you can use the Robinhood and so forth, but we'll have to do that next week. We'll talk about mechanically.
Sure.
How does one get involved in this? If you want to play the game, how do you play it? So again, from a non-advisor standpoint, that's, I want to make that clear
yes.
again. All right. Thank you, everybody. Amanda, it's been great. This has been a wonderful, fun week.
It really
we've done
has.
So many different things this week. Yeah, it's been very different for us this week. And right now,
yes.
our LA studios happen to be in my Tesla. That's where I'm at right now.
Incredible. Incredible.
So, this has been different. Yeah, I'm next week I think I'll take you to the beach with me on Monday. So, maybe we'll try surfing live on the Andy Mandy show.
I'll wear my sandals.
Anyway.
Okay.
You'd love it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, everybody take care. It's been a great week. Thank you again, guys, for joining us. We'll see you next week. And Amanda, take us on home. Have
okay, on behalf
you,
of... Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, and myself, Amanda Love, here in the UK. Thank you to Anthony Esposito for joining us. Thank you to Will Loback and Lee Van Dusen. You guys are amazing. And thank you to our audience for listening in. Join us on Monday. Have an amazing weekend. We love you. Take care. Keep smiling. And feel free to invest.
Eight to the moon.
Take care, everybody.
Eight to the moon.
Have a good weekend.
Guys, bye-bye. I love you, and I thank you.